transportation.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't sure if he was going to be too cool for school or, you know what I mean?
Right.
You just never know. Yep. And as soon as we walked in, he was like, yeah, I want a t-shirt. And he wore it. He wore the t-shirt during the whole orientation and all day yesterday. So he got his.
So he's school spirit all the way.
Yeah. He was like, I'm a Bearcat now.
Well, I went to.
So he was pumped.
Open house for my kids' school. You know, they're still in elementary school. And right out front, it's the Kona ice truck. That's there. First thing you see, Kona ice truck. That's
they
number one.
They need to put that out back because if it's the first thing you see, nobody wants to go into the school.
Hey, exactly what all parents want for their elementary students is to send them home with just a load full of syrupy sugar at 7 o'clock. Let's go to the house. Let's eat dinner. Now, and then right after that, it's the Boy Scouts. So the Boy Scouts are right there next to them. And the boys have asked me a couple times about the Boy Scouts. I was in the Boy Scouts for mm-hmm. a little while. But I could just remember the soapbox derby. You get this block of wood that you're supposed to carve into a, you know, a race car. And then you have to weight it properly and all this stuff. And then there's other activities you're supposed to do. Well, I just remember that there was a lot of stuff to do that included your dad, and my dad didn't have time for it at that time. So my dad's been a great dad and all, but it just happened to be at that
just
time or whatever.
Schedule wise. Yeah.
It didn't work out. It was, and so it was more just disappointment that there was. And so I know my schedule, especially during the school year, and I know the sports schedule that they have by playing sports, that there's not going to be time to tie a bunch of knots, you know, on a Wednesday at 8 o'clock. So, so I kind of steer them clear and I tell them it's because I don't want them to be molested.
Oh my God. No, you didn't.
I'm joking. I do tell them this. I say, well, I don't know the Boy Scout leaders very well, and I don't know that I trust you with them by yourself. And I'm not going to become a Boy Scout leader. So the solution would be to get to know the Boy Scout leaders. But, you know, deep down, I don't really trust them. I don't. I'm sorry. Too much craziness. I see too much craziness every day.
Yeah.
Like, I see Sinclair Television owns 180, 200 stations throughout the country. And I get a list emailed to me of the top viewed stories online, the most viewed stories online. So if there's 10 of them, 8 of them are horrific things that have happened around the country. Horrible things, and a lot of it is child abuse, that kind of stuff.
And then the other one is like a squirrel water skiing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So seeing that every day, I just become so cynical about things.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing I've got to do is crush them that they're not getting a Kona ice right now. And you're not joining the Boy Scouts. And then we continue with open house. Yeah.
I'm like, well, we can't wait for...
Yeah.
Is it fourth grade?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, then they get in there and they get excited. And then, they got the Kona ice on the way out. I mean, it can't...
Yeah, it's tough.
Had to do that.
Yeah, yeah, you kind of have to do that.
Last weekend, took them to Chicago. Oh, man.
That was their first game at Wrigley Field, right?
Yes. First game at Wrigley Field for them. It was excellent. I mean, any game at Wrigley Field. There were a few things.
Did the Cubs win?
No. They did not. Our timing was just a hair off. The day before, the Cubs had a slugfest with the Arizona Diamondbacks. It was like 11 to 10. Home run left and right. The day after, perfect weather. Cubs won. They had a free baseball card giveaway. All this stuff. The day we went, I'm not kidding you, when we got up to go outside, it was 58 degrees.
Ooh.
I mean, it's August. We've got shorts and t-shirts on. It's 58 degrees. We get to the ballpark, it's 62 and 20-mile-per-hour winds off the lake. I mean, right out of the gate, I've dropped $200 on warm clothes for us all.
Right.
I got shorts on and a coat. The boys have hoodies on and shorts. I mean, Anyway, the one thing that just got me, okay, the whole game, Cubs are scoreless. They're having trouble getting runs across. It's seventh inning, and the seats in front of us have been empty almost the whole game. And they're not great seats, but, I mean, almost every seat in Wrigley's fine. There's, you know, great view. Seventh inning, this guy comes up in a, like, trench coat, wool trench coat, winter wear, tie, suit, the whole deal, him and another guy, and they walk up to their seats. Baseball etiquette at a game is you make your move in between pitches or in between innings. Like, if you got to go to the bathroom, the pitch has been thrown, now you get up and go because there's time in between pitches. These guys have no idea what they're doing. They just walk in. They're not even paying attention to the game. They come walk in. People in front of us have to get up. They're standing up. And at that moment, you hear crack. And it's Javi Baez going deep. We see the ball leave the yard, but we didn't get to see Javi swing the bat because I'm not going to call him what I would call him normally, but, you know, that guy was there.
That guy.
And then when he sat down, he looked at his phone for the rest of the entire game. Because I could see over his shoulder, all he's doing is looking at his phone.
Sounds like he was dressed for a 1940s baseball game when everyone used to wear suits and ties and trench coats.
He couldn't have cared less about baseball and blocked my son's vision of seeing Javi Baez crank one out. I wanted to stomp his head. Never mind. But any day at Wrigley Field is a good day.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was a good day. And then took them to Lake Michigan.
Listen, they might not have gotten hoodies. Cubs hoodies had their...
No, absolutely not.
Had the weather
been
good.
$50 a pop? Heck no. No. And they wouldn't have got them otherwise. But here's what I did do for them. I said, I bought them official Major League Baseballs, you know, a leather ball, so they could have that, with a Sharpie.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents gave them $20 a piece, and we gave them $30 a piece. So they each had $50 to spend of their own. And we got to the park the moment the gates opened, got right up against the wall down the left field line, third base line, waiting for autographs. And the first autograph of the day is Carl Edwards Jr., one of the relief pitchers for the Cubs. And he walks up to Anthony and signs his ball. And that was the first autograph of the place. And so that was cool. And
was his brother upset?
Oh, well, his brother was fourth. I mean, so he signed Anthony's ball.
Okay, I thought he only signed Anthony's ball. Okay.
No, he signed his ball, and he signed two other kids' things, and then he signed Eduardo's ball.
Okay, good.
So, yeah. So they were good. They both got a signed ball. And then we hung out and watched batting practice, and so, yeah, they had a blast.
That's awesome.
And then Lake Michigan, they couldn't believe that it was a lake because Lake Michigan is so huge, it looks like the ocean, the watercolor,
the
beach,
see.
All that. It feels like an ocean right there in downtown Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. Yeah. So we appreciate Sean for letting me come back. I was on the road late. I'm like, I don't know. If I can get up and do this thing, I don't know what's going on. My mind's getting completely out in Chicago. So
I'm glad you had a good time. That's awesome. That's awesome. I'm glad the boys got to go to Wrigley. And
Yeah.
That's fun. I mean, you know from your own experiences how much that means to you later on in life.
Exactly.
In maintaining your Cubby fandom or whatever team it is that you go to see when you're a little kid.
Yeah. Those memories I will never forget, even though I was only 5 years old, that first Cubs game at Wrigley. I just remember the magnitude of it. It just felt so enormous.
Yeah, that's when everything is still larger than life to you, right? Now you've been to so many sporting events and venues that's like, it's still cool, you know, to go to the games. Like, that's never not cool, but it's just never the same either.
Right. Yeah, I remember every trip to Wrigley, because I went back again, I think I was 12 or 13. I remember the weather, the conditions, who we were with. I remember all that. Just every ball game that I went to as a kid. We went to the Twins up there in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it. Bo Jackson played. I got a Frank Viola autograph off of a baseball that was hit, home run ball.
Oh, man, that's pretty big.
I'll tell you the quick story on that. The home run ball comes through. We're sitting in the bleachers. It's really not that full out there in the Metrodome, the Homer Dome.
Yes.
And there's like a couple of younger guys up there, you know, drinking, having a good time. And the ball goes into where, like, the gap, where the locker room would be for the NFL, for the football team. It's kind of a gap right there. So it bounces down in there. Well, I guess there's a security guard down there. So those two guys run over to the side and like, hey, buddy, throw us the ball. They throw him the ball up there. So the guys are kind of sitting behind us, and I turn around and I ask him, I was like, how did you get that ball? Like, what happened over there? Like, well, it was a security guard, and we just told him to give it to us. And so he starts talking to us, and like, well, we're from Kentucky. We came up here, and yeah, I'm a huge Kirby Puckett fan, big Bo Jackson fan, you know. Neither one of the teams, really. I just like those players. And I tell you what, kid, here you go.
Wow.
Hands me the ball. And then you have to have parents willing to go out and stand
and wait
outside of the locker room and wait for hour and a half after the ball game to get an autograph, which my parents aren't big baseball sports. They did it just for me. So I'm standing out there, and I want Bo Jackson or Kirby Puckett. That's autograph.
Of course, yeah.
There comes Frank Viola. Like, well, look, I'll take, you know, anybody.
Yeah,
because
what if you pass up on Frank Viola?
I ain't passing
and then
that. No.
Yeah.
I mean, Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah.
I get Viola's autograph. I'm like, oh, this is great. This is great. So then we're walking back to where we're parked. Well, you have to walk through the players' parking lot to do that. And it's Al Newman, one of the great utility players of all time. He's not going to the Hall of Fame, but you need a utility guy. Al Newman's your man. And so I just wave, and I'm like, will you sign my ball? And he's like, it's kind of against the rules to sign stuff in the parking lot here, but where are you guys from? I'm like, well, we're from Kentucky. All right, give me the ball. Sign the ball. So I got an Al Newman, Frank Viola signed baseball that I still have to this day.
Yeah.
Because you just remember those things.
Yep.
I will never forget my image of that time of watching, looking at Bo Jackson in left field from my vantage point and just being like, wow, that's Bo Jackson right there. So you remember that stuff. And these kids, mine, is as they get a little older and start developing their sports heroes, you know, like right now, I think Aaron Judge is big with them because they watch the Home Run Derby.
Yeah, I can see that.
Of course, they love Rizzo and Bryant. But as they, you know, develop their own and they get to be about 12, then the next game we go to, wherever it is, Cubs or not, you know, I think I'm doing them a favor by not bringing them up as Reds fans. I know this is Reds country, but I think I'm doing them a favor, as you all know, Reds fans.
So, I mean, 365 days ago, wouldn't you have said, I think I'm doing them a favor not bringing them up, Cubs fans?
Hey, the Cubs are the champs. They know no different. Cubs are World Series champs.
I know, but jeez. Mm-hmm. Boys, it'll never happen again in your lifetime.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? The Reds may become the big red machine again.
I have my doubts.
Yeah, not in this day and age.
I have my doubts.
Not in this day and age. All right. We need to get to.
Yes, the scrimmage yesterday.
The scrimmage. There was a ton of news that came out of the scrimmage. A ton. And we're going to talk about it next. And then at 9:30, Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com is going to join us. If you haven't seen it yet, SECCountry.com, Kyle Tucker's 5 bold predictions for UK football this season. One of them is that Drew Barker will win the starting quarterback job back from Steven Johnson before the season is over. That's a bold prediction. So we'll have Mr. Bold Prediction on the show at 9:30. And then at 10 o'clock, John Clay. One of his columns this week, the headline was, Are We Being Too Positive About UK Football in 2017? We'll talk about that. And, of course, John was there yesterday asking questions of the players and coaches following the scrimmage. So we'll get John Clay's thoughts from Kentucky.com and the Lexington Herald Leader. And, of course, take your calls, 381-1313. Talk plenty of football here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Hi, I'm Bob Safaya with the New Home Collective at Keller Williams of Greater Lexington. It's a very exciting time to buy or sell real estate. In a busy market, it's best to surround yourself with experienced professionals that can work efficiently through the home buying process. The New Home Collective trusts that partnering with Bluegrass Land Title to handle our closings will ensure a seamless and enjoyable process for all those involved. So let's partner up with Bluegrass Land Title and close on the home of your dreams.
For more information, call 859-266-1611 or go to bluegrasslandtitle.com.
Under new local ownership, Lina's Irish Bar and Grill is the home of soccer in Lexington. We are open from 7 a.m. on Saturdays and Sundays for live EPL coverage. Serving fresh, delicious food with over 20 craft beers on tap, we have the best atmosphere in town. We also have live music on Wednesdays, Fridays, and Saturday nights. We are located at 384 Woodland Avenue, so drop in, have a beer, and cheer on your favorite team. Lina's, the home of soccer in Lexington.
Now is a great time to volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Volunteering is an opportunity to directly impact lives.
To see a life changed, to have it flourish in front of you. And the mission is a great place to volunteer to see that. You really get to see the results of your input.
And anyone can do it. So no matter how much time you might be able to give, a little or a lot, volunteer at the Lexington Rescue Mission. Call us at 381-9600.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some tips for the summer heat. To help keep your bill low, set your thermostat at as high a temperature as comfortably possible and ensure humidity control if needed. The smaller the difference between the indoor and outdoor temperatures, the lower your overall bill will be. And if you need a reputable company for any air conditioning needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. The
Heat Busters!
Looking for healthy, homemade food in a humble, hospitable environment? Look no further than Skewers in Lexington. Delicious, authentic Mediterranean menu items including salads, soups, falafels, kebabs, baba ganoush, baklava, and many more. We also feature combo trays of locally purchased meats and produce, and we cater party orders. Visit us at 130 West Tiverton Way or order online at www.skewerslexington.com or by phone and have any of our delicious food delivered straight to you. Skewers, the only authentic Mediterranean food in this area.
It's time to get outside Kentucky, and at Lexington Billiards and Spas, we have all the best outside fun. Get a kids' creation swing set for the kids, made in the USA with American Redwood. These sets are strong, safe, and priced right. All hot tubs are on sale, and get the cover, steps, and chemicals with delivery all free. It's grilling time, and the Big Green Egg Grill is the best. We have the lowest prices in the Bluegrass. 18-month interest-free financing available, so come see us at 1431 Leestown Road or LexingtonBilliardsAndSpas.com. 255-7639.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
My eyes, just an okay scrimmage. I feel like we've got a lot of work to do. Good thing we're still got 3 weeks. I think, 2 weeks would be pushing it. 3 weeks, there's a lot of time to get some things ironed out. Felt like just like a typical scrimmage in camp. Both sides of the ball did some good things at times, and that's why it's always hard for me to gauge the success. Because you just want to see good, hard, clean football. I saw that at times, and I saw some things that were sloppy at times. As to be expected, the first time we teed it up live and went about it. But the guys have got a good attitude, got a lot of work in. I think we came out of it, for the most part, unscathed. I'm slightly concerned with Cole Mosier. Got injured out there, so we'll give you an update on Monday and see where he's at. But other than that, we came out relatively healthy and good physical scrimmage. So it's a good starting point. We've just got a lot of work to do.
Anybody?
So Cole Mosier, the big news there.
Yes.
From Mark Stoops, talking after the scrimmage yesterday. Said slightly concerned.
When he used that, he's probably more than slightly.
Mm-hmm. The only good news for the team is that Landon Young is more than capable of of manning that position all season.
Yeah.
Without a problem. But, you know, Cole, I believe he's a senior.
Yeah.
This would stink if it's anything significant. Otherwise, he said, glad we've got 3 weeks, which you would think after the first scrimmage.
Yeah. I don't expect any coach in America to go more than that. Like, we're ready to go today. But Stoops is also not afraid to say, we had a terrible scrimmage out there. So the fact that he said it's okay, glad we, you know, there's some good things on both sides, I take that as pretty positive.
It sounded to me as if, what they said was the first drive, offense, 12 plays, something like that, but then A.J. Rose fumbled down at the goal line, so they didn't punch it in. Second drive, another good chance, Eddie Grand said, to score, didn't finish. But the defense was not happy on that first drive because obviously it was a long drive. And Matt House said they got gashed on some big runs. And he was like, anytime you get gashed on big runs, it's unacceptable. Stoops said they stopped the run a little bit better. So maybe there were just that, you know, a few big runs. And then most of the other time they did a good job containing things. But it sounded like Benny Snell and maybe Steven Johnson, because Steven Johnson said read pass option on one. So maybe he had a big run. You know, we're not there, so we don't know. Derek Beatty was one who Matt House pointed to as making good plays on 50-50 balls. Everybody said Josh Ali, Isaiah Epps. Ali had a touchdown, apparently, which Kentucky Wildcats TV put out a little video.
And Lynn Bowden.
I was getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
No, that's okay. Juice Johnson was another one they mentioned is doing well. Jordan Wright on defense, which that's not a name we've heard yet.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Wright. Calvin Taylor was someone Matt House mentioned. So he thought the defensive line was a little better. But yes, okay, Lynn Bowden. You didn't get to listen to yesterday's show, I'm sure. But Alex and I are in here, and we're talking about Lynn Bowden. And I bring up, you know, what it's going to come out of the scrimmage today. Do you think you're going to hear anything about Lynn Bowden making an impact or anything? Because I thought the biggest thing he's going to be able to do right now is punt and kick return, because that just takes catching the ball. But they're not going to do that probably full speed.
No, not in
a scrimmage, yeah. You wouldn't think. And then if he's swimming, then he doesn't know enough to really make an impact offensively. And so Alex said, well, he's not going to make an impact offensively this season. He didn't see it happening at all on offense. And because
this
he would
season
have,
or this
yeah,
scrimmage?
No, for the season, because he didn't think he was going to be able to get comfortable enough with everything, and that there's so many other people out there who can play that maybe he doesn't do a whole lot offensively. Like, yeah, he goes and plays, but he doesn't have an impact. Like, he's not a Randall Cobb or something like that. He's not a big impact guy. And I said, you know what? I kind of agree with that. That he's not going to have a big enough role offensively, and then whatever role he does have, it's not going to be game-changing this year because he missed all summer and he came in late. I said his biggest impact will be kick punt returner. He could really shine there. And then yesterday happened, and I go back on all of it.
Yeah.
I take it all back.
I would take it all back.
Too. I asked Alex about it. He goes, nope, until he does it on Saturday, I'm standing my ground. I'm like, well, I'm jumping in before it's too late. I'm all in now. That's all I needed.
Listen, what other player on this team, perhaps with the exception of Benny Snell, and that came, all the praise came after he started doing what he was doing last year.
Yes.
Have the coaches talked about a player more, hyped up how amazing a player is more than Lynn Bowden?
I know.
I know Stoops has, you know, not done it a ton, but the other guys have. They have blown him up.
Vince Marrow has said a ton.
And I just don't see them being that wrong about it.
Well, with everything, I was like, well, maybe let's just pump our brakes here. Let's just pump our brakes. It's too soon, okay? It's just too soon. And then the first scrimmage, here's what Stoops says about Bowden.
Out there, Lynn is really coming on. He He's just a good football player that it's hard to force feed him. You know, there's so much learning involved. He just got here. And, you know, the other day he had a really good practice. He showed up today with a couple nice catches. And I believe he's got a really good future. I love his attitude. The kid comes in and he's what I expected in that he's a great kid. He's a competitor, doesn't want anything handed to him. He wants to earn his way. The players like him. He works extremely hard. He's a competitive kid, and he's got a bright future. It's just hard. It's just hard to learn it all and put it, you know, and force feed him. But he is catching punts and kickoffs, and hopefully we'll get, you know, by 3 weeks, we'll get him in a position to be able to touch the ball.
In a position to be able to touch the ball.
In 3 weeks.
Yes.
So that's the opener.
Yeah.
And
so it's happening.
I don't want to negate that, yes, he's got to learn the playbook and the schemes and all of that. But there are some guys that are just football players.
Yeah.
That you put them out there and they just instinctively
You're right.
know what to do. And their athletic ability is such that they can overcome a couple of things that they aren't positive about or being in a slightly wrong position, but they're so athletic that they can, you know, make up for that. And I think Lynn Bowden is that guy.
It sounds like it. Another thing I said yesterday is the players might get sick of hearing the question, hey, how's Lynn Bowden doing? Everyone wants to know. And, you know, media's not able to talk to Lynn Bowden because he's a true freshman, and you can't talk to true freshmen until after the first game if they have played. So that maybe, through no fault of their own, the players would have some resentment towards him because they're like, quit asking about Lynn Bowden. I mean, he just got here. So many other players on our team you should be asking about. You're not asking me about Benny Snell, you know, that kind of thing. But Stoops said players, you know, like him. So I don't think that's going to have any effect either. So I take that back as well. Now, here is what Eddie Grant said about Lynn Bowden.
I thought he was one of the guys that showed up, made some plays. It's hard because he hasn't been here that long, but he went out there and he's a competitor. But he's one that did show up. I thought him. I thought our tight ends caught the ball well. They had a chance. CJ had a touchdown. Riggs did a good job. Had a couple of catches, I think. So that was good.
So again, here's Eddie Grant, a guy who showed up today. Lynn Bowden,
a real competitor, right? So that's a guy who might be slightly out of position, but is going to fight to catch that ball, and is it? It's just, I'm excited. I mean, I'm as excited as I'll get out for Lynn Bowden.
I mean, I don't think the Randall Cobb thing seems too far off.
Now I'm not ready to go there.
As far as his ability, he seems like that type. Here's why I am hesitant, and why I have been hesitant. Is because I heard all of this about Ryan Timmons, and I thought Ryan Timmons would have that kind of impact right away as a freshman, and not even in kick return did he. And so that made me hesitant. But to hear these coaches say, because they are hesitant with praise. They don't like to put it out there. So
especially on a true freshman who's only been here a week. That's why it's different. They weren't heaping praise on Ryan Timmons.
No.
That, you know, fall camp of his freshman year. And I don't know this, Stan. I'm literally pulling this out of thin air. But there's something in my gut that tells me there is a different mental makeup between Ryan Timmons and Lynn Bowden.
There is. And I'm saying Lynn Bowden's mental makeup is the same as Randall Cobb's. That's what I think.
Yeah.
They saw a true competitor. Like, there is no way he's going to have the impact Cobb did first season. Cobb wound up playing quarterback the first season as a freshman.
I don't think they're...
But I mean, that playmaking ability, the ability to change a game.
Just a football player.
Yeah.
Like, just a guy who's got the instincts.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Well, and Bowden played quarterback in...
High school.
So
you never
know if they were in a similar situation as Randall Cobb's freshman year, which thankfully they aren't. But if they were, God only knows, he might play quarterback.
Well, I don't think it's out of the question that they put him in Wildcat package at some point. I think they will. I've done a complete 180 here. Yesterday I was thinking the other way, and these comments yesterday have convinced me I'm wrong. So
yeah.
Let's talk to Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com and do it next. His bold prediction that Drew Barker will overtake Stephen Johnson as starting quarterback at some point this season. You can read about it at SECCountry.com. 5 bold predictions. Go there, read about it now, and in 2 minutes, we'll be talking to him about it here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
We work hard every day, not for fame or fortune.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
As a mom, I'm always looking for affordable family fun. I recommend the Lexington Legends. They play today at 2:05. Get your tickets now by phone at 859-422-RUNS or online at lexingtonlegends.com.
This is a Morgan & Morgan consumer message.
If I could give you 2 pieces of advice in choosing the law firm to represent you for your injuries, it would be simple. Pick a firm that's been around a long time. I've seen so many come and go. And pick a firm with the financial strength to give you the best chance to be fully compensated for what has been taken from you. Our battles have been against the establishment, tobacco companies, the pharmaceutical industry, insurance companies, and bully corporations. We advance on behalf of our clients millions of dollars, sometimes $1 million in a single case to fight the giants. Whether it's a car crash case, workers' compensation, medical malpractice, or an insurance dispute, you need a firm which can match the other side dollar for dollar, toe to toe, so that you have a fighting chance. For 30 years, we've represented the people, not the powerful. Let us fight for you. Morgan & Morgan, ForThePeople.com. Offices Lexington.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel,
protection,
ability,
friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injury,
tears, death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
There is a place right here in Kentucky where a total stranger will give you food and shelter when disaster strikes. There is a place where you can support your community by donating blood, volunteering, or making a contribution. That place is the American Red Cross. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Red Cross Kentucky Region. Help us celebrate our 100th anniversary by becoming involved today. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS to find a Red Cross near you.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter.
A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
ESPN Sports Radio 13. The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show. Or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Well, Kentucky had its first football scrimmage yesterday. We heard a little bit of that sound just now from Mark Stoops. Said it was okay. Not too bad. About what he expected. Some good, some bad. Glad he had 3 weeks to go. Cole Mosier, injury. Don't know the extent of that. We'll know on Monday. Lynn Bowden. Praise from Stoops and Eddie Grand, which seemed, that was a little surprising to me. And then some other guys that we kind of mentioned. That Josh Ali, Isaiah Epps, a couple of the young receivers. Jalen Bannerman, 6'5 dude, moving from outside linebacker to tight end. Maybe on the interior of the defense, on the line, because they're so good at outside linebacker, is kind of how Stoops explained that. Some of the highlights from yesterday's scrimmage. You can watch them on Kentucky Wildcats TV. They put out that little YouTube video. The highlights are so quick. They happen so fast, but they're good to see. You can just feel the physicality of it all. Stephen Johnson, Andrew Barker, both played, and Eddie Grand said neither one of them turned the ball over as far as the throwing game. So that was a good sign. Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com, he's down there most every day at UK football practice. And he had a column article this week that said, here's my 5 bold predictions. And he gave his level of confidence, 1 through 10, on each prediction. But the first one up, numero uno on the list was, Drew Barker will overtake Stephen Johnson as the starting quarterback at some point this season.
And not because of injury.
And not because of injury. So, Mr. Clickbait Tucker, what? I'm giving you a hard time. No, Kyle, thanks for joining us. Kyle Tucker from SECCountry.com on the phone with us now. Let's jump right into it.
Yep. So you just want me to explain myself?
Yes, explain yourself on the Drew Barker situation. But your confidence level was 4, so I am going to say that.
It was my lowest confidence level. And you know, I think the more likely scenario, or the two more likely scenarios, the one being that Steven, you know, builds on last year and he holds that job. You know, that I think is the most likely thing that will happen there. The second most likely thing is I think that Drew takes over because Steven gets hurt, because Steven is still 100, for all his weight gaining efforts, he's still 190-pound quarterback in the SEC. He's still a very skinny kid. He played the end of last season with a torn-up knee. I think it's, you know, in the way he plays running around, there's a lot of opportunity for him to get hurt. So that's another possibility. Of the three, my scenario is the least likely, I think, that Drew just straight up takes the job. But I just have this little, I don't know, intuition, inkling. It's really not anything more than that, that, you know, Drew Barker, just straight up talent, has more. And he's more prototypical physically. And I know what the coaches thought they had of him before he got hurt. And I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about when he got hurt. People keep thinking that, like, you know, when he finally stopped playing is when he got hurt.
No.
He hurt his back in the summer. He was limited in summer workouts. He tried to deal with it through camp. He was hurting still, or already, in the first half of Southern Miss when he looked amazing. You know, he threw for 270 yards and 4 touchdowns and a half. The first play, first drive of the second half, he tried to get rid of a ball, got twisted as he was getting hit, and from that point on, he started losing feeling in his leg. And it all went down here from there. If you notice, he only threw the ball 3 times the rest of that game and was a disaster at Florida, and then was out after one series against New Mexico State, and that was it for him. So, you know, knowing what I think the staff thought he was, what he looked like in a little glimmer of sort of healthy Drew Barker, there's just this thing in the back of my mind that if he gets back to that, you know, and especially if Steven doesn't address the fumbling issue, he was second in the nation in fumbles last year, there's a little window for him to make a move. But like I said, I think the most likely scenario is that Steven builds on what he did last year, gets better, and holds that job.
Well, there's one thing about – a couple things about Steven that we've – or let me start over. One thing we know about coaches is they say things, and sometimes they're true, and sometimes they're not. So
that's the one thing we know, Dan.
So if Joker Phillips tells you that Morgan Newton is a completely different quarterback, you wouldn't even recognize him, and then he comes out and looks like the same guy we've seen all along. That's right. One of those things there. So if they tell us, which they have, that Steven Johnson is much stronger and that turnover issue is fixed, well, you have to see it before you can really believe it. And if it's still there, there's no way that they can continue with him with a healthy Drew Barker. Two is, now this I tend to believe a little bit more, is that unsolicited, Eddie Grand says intermediate passing is the most improved area of Steven Johnson's game. Like, they didn't ask, has he improved here? They said, what is he most improved on?
Right.
And it was the intermediate throws and his accuracy. Darren Henshaw backed that up. So if that holds true, and he's not turning the ball over, then yes, he's a different kind of guy because of the running ability. But you make a great point with everything about Drew Barker. And Stoops even brought this up at Media Day, I believe, where he says, hey, remember, you don't like to think about that Southern Miss game, but that first half was almost like that's the real Drew Barker, folks.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, the point about Steven, the intermediate passes, those comments came after we all got to see with our eyes in the open practice him hit a few of those. You know, at one point he hit C.J. Conrad over the middle on a nice play, which was just a confounding issue last year. Like, if he tried to throw the ball 8 yards over the middle to C.J. Conrad, it was an impossibility.
Yeah.
And he connected on one of those, and one of the fans behind me just, like, yelped out, "We completed a pass over the middle to the tight end!"
Championship.
Like the happiest moment of his life. But you know, in many ways, I mean, Steven was kind of a home run ball or bust quarterback last year. And
his home run ball receiver is gone.
Right. And he had the element of surprise to a degree, I think all the way really through the end of the season, because I don't know that anybody bought that anything that had happened until they played Steven Johnson was legitimate. You know what I mean? Like it felt almost like, well, maybe this is fluky. And I think teams kind of felt that way. Mm-hmm. And he just kept hitting those home run balls. So, he certainly has to do more. He has to protect football and he has to be able to do more than he could do a year ago. With, you know, other teams having the benefit of tape and a season of knowledge on what he does well, they're going to take some of that away or try to. And as you say, is you know, the only proven home run threat on the team is gone. It's playing in Oklahoma now. So it'll be interesting. But, you know, I know that probably raises some eyebrows, that prediction. It's really – I don't know that it's even a prediction. I don't have a great – as I note there in the story, I don't have a great deal of confidence in that one. But I do have a little twinge of just feeling like maybe at some point it happened.
Yeah.
All right, so this is confidence level 6, which in my mind says it's more likely to happen than not.
60% chance, yes, according to the scale, I guess.
That Kentucky wins 8 games this year.
Yeah.
I don't think that you're alone in that. I do think there is quite a bit of the fan base that believes 7-8 wins this year is happening.
The season ticket sales do not reflect that.
They
but
do.
Yes.
Yeah, they do not. They do not. And maybe I'm hearing the people vocal minority. Them. The you know.
Right.
I also don't believe 8 wins is happening this year. Mm. No, but you make a case for it.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think this is the year that they take one at least from the sort of the power three of the East, Tennessee, Florida, Georgia. I think they beat one of those teams.
I'm with that all the way. I think that happens.
I'm not as high on some folks as, you know, are sure this is the year they break through against Florida. I think they might have missed their window against Florida unless they take a big jump, because there were so many opportunities in the last couple of years.
So many opportunities.
I can tell you this, though. That, especially if it's a night game at Kroger Field, I think they're going to have a chance. I think that fourth quarter is going to be one of those again. I don't think they'll get stomped.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. Florida's one I got to see to believe.
Yeah.
You know, like I think they've caught Tennessee. They're
so I'm the opposite there.
To me, it feels like they're trending in opposite directions, those two teams right now. So, Tennessee's on the way down. Kentucky's on the way up. That's an opportunity there, and they need to do that because they've taken some beatings against Tennessee. I don't see them having a stunning non-conference loss like they had last year. I mean, the whole season in terms of fan interest kind of hinges on week one, because if they lose to Southern Miss again, fans will be all the way out.
Yeah.
And I don't think that happens, even though it's on the road and it's a tough deal to go play the underdog on the road, but I don't think that they lose a surprise game in the non-conference, which put them behind. I mean, they would have won 8 games last year if they just finished the job against Southern.
Yeah, 25 point lead.
So, you know, there's that. I don't know. I mean, they got the best draw you can get out of the West, like the best draw you can get. If you asked
any
team to pick who you want to play from the West, they would pick Mississippi State and Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is just a wreck right now.
Yeah.
That's a game a year ago, 2 years ago, there's no way you would have picked against Kentucky against Ole Miss, but I like their chances in that one. So, you know, to me, there's a real clear path to 8 that's not like they had to, it's not like they would have had to do anything overly crazy. You know, the fact that they can get to 8 wins without pulling what I would consider like a major upset, means it's pretty doable to me.
Well, I don't think Louisville's going to – I know the game's at home, but you got to think Louisville is going to come in. Lamar Jackson, I mean, they're just – they're going to have that revenge factor going. That's why I think Kentucky's going to go down to Southern Miss and win that game. They're not going to let that happen to them again. But I would almost think that they have a better chance of beating Tennessee, Florida at home than Mississippi State, Georgia, South Carolina on the road.
Really? South Carolina and Mississippi State?
South Carolina, it's been 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
And Will Muschamp has got it. You know, he's got another year here now. And his defense is, and he's got a quarterback on the rise here. And Mississippi State is a tough place to go with. I mean, Dan Mullen has had Kentucky's number.
I'm with you. I think there's a good chance that they swap some wins where, like maybe the wins, SEC wins they got last year. I think they don't get South Carolina this year because I think what you said, having to play on the road, and I think South Carolina's on the rise. But maybe they swap the Tennessee win for that one. You know, and maybe they don't beat Mississippi State on the road, but they swap out the Southern Miss game that they blew last year. You know, I think they could trade some wins and losses and still get in position to go into that Louisville game with a chance to get eight. So, you know, again, they're 60%. You know, I'm certainly not like all out saying eight wins is going to happen. I'm saying I think there's a really good chance. I think anything less than seven would be a disappointment, a big disappointment. And they ought to have at least a shot going into the last couple weeks of the season to get to eight. I think that's totally doable and realistic. It should be an expectation of the program in year five under Stoops.
Yeah.
And there's also the reality that Kentucky football hasn't won eight regular season games in 33 years. So we'll see.
We're talking to SECCountry.com's Kyle Tucker here on the Dan and Mary Joe Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and going over his bold predictions for the season. To me, the craziest of your five predictions, which let's just let folks know. We already said Drew Barker gets his job back. That was one of them. Confidence level four. Just mentioned the Cats win eight regular season games. Confidence level six there. Another one is Kentucky wins the turnover battle. Another one is Matt Elam makes a meaningful contribution. Not necessarily a star, but contributes more than he has in the past. And to me, the craziest is Benny Snell leads the SEC in rushing. Because as you point out, there's Darius Geis at LSU. There's Nick Fitzgerald at Miss State. There's Vanderbilt's Ralph Webb and Cameron Petway at Auburn. And, I don't see it. Confidence level five. So you're halfway in on that one.
That's one that if you're saying, like, what will this happen? Probably not. But he's got, I mean, I would say almost as good a chance as anybody on that list. There's a really good group of running backs in the SEC this year. But if Benny Snell's healthy, you know, he ran for almost 1,100 yards and he didn't play in the first two games. He did it in, you know, the last 11. And he's running behind, you know, I think what is widely considered, you know, a top three or four offensive line in the SEC, if not better. You know, some have argued they have maybe the second or third best offensive line in the SEC. So that, you know, there's that. I think the fact that they're not afraid to use him as a workhorse if they need to. I don't know. He's going to have a chance. I think he's going to get touches. And the one thing I really like about Benny is that he never gets tackled for a loss. I mean, he's always gaining yards. He's always adding to that total if he touches the ball. He may not break them off in 50-yard chunks like Boom Williams did very often, but there's something to be said for the guy who you can the offense knows it can rely on. If he touches the ball, it's going to be 3 to 4 yards, you know, at worst, almost every time.
The way he runs the ball, I really, truly think that he is among the top three talents at running back in the SEC. I mean, Darius Geis, you've got to put way up there. You know, Petway.
I would put Petway up there.
He's good, too, but I don't know how well he would translate kind of to the NFL.
And Ralph Webb.
Well, Ralph Webb is a, you know, a stud. Nick Chubb, Sony Michel. But I think if I'm an NFL team and I've got to pick a running back, I'm picking Geis first, and then I'm considering Webb, Petway, and Snell. I mean, those three are kind of my second choice, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm with you.
Snell just, I mean, he bruises you. He punishes you when he runs. And those legs never stop moving. He's got such a drive. It's going to be fun to watch, no doubt.
All right, listen, Kyle. I need a confidence level 10 in that you will not stop tweeting pictures of the twins. Because I die.
Stone cold lock. Lock of
the week. I melt. I mean, I melt. How has it changed you?
changed me. I don't know. I just.
He's softer and less cynical.
Do you think you're softer? Yeah, no, I...
softer. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, I pay attention to every baby thing on earth now. Like, you know, other people's kids, any cute right. kid thing that you would sort of ignore as a selfish single person catches your eye. So I think I have, as much as my own house, I think I have, like, a greater appreciation for other people's kids because I realize, like, how much joy it must be bringing to their parents, because it's really cool every morning to get up with them and they smile at me every day and put them down next to each other and they hold each other's hands. The picture I shared this morning, they're pretty awesome. And yeah. It definitely has made me a softie for sure.
Hey, it's changed my life, changed my priority. Having kids did. So, I mean, just changed the way I think about things.
Made
sure.
You shave that awful beard.
They actually liked it. They liked it. I brought it back for a couple months this summer, but yeah, it's gone again.
Hey, Kyle, thank you so much. We look forward to catching up with you this whole football season.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
And bothering you
yeah.
week in and week out.
Sounds good.
All right, Kyle Tucker there from SECCountry.com. Go check out SECCountry.com because not only is it Kyle Tucker, but it is Joe Musato who does a great yeah. job as well. And we have him on the show from time to time also. Kyle is kind of the main man for UK basketball and supports Joe in football. Joe's kind of vice versa come basketball season, but Joe is, you know, the beat writer, and he was out there yesterday. So SECCountry.com, it's a new thing within the last 2 years, and it's already pretty darn good.
It's really yeah. taken off.
It's one of those places you need to go if you're following the SEC. You need to that's an earmarked page that you go to.
You know, it reminds me of what's coming up. It hasn't started yet, but I believe it's called The Athletic.
Mm-hmm.
So
Seth Davis got fired from Sports Illustrated, let go.
Dana O'Neill. Mm-hmm.
And so he started it, right?
Or, yeah. Or started
some part of it. Maybe the college basketball writers part of it or whatever.
But there yeah. are a lot of big name writers that yeah. you know and have followed who have been let go from their mm-hmm. previous publications, who are all joining up on this. And when it debuts, I think it's going to be a must-go-to site as well.
Well, it's going to be real journalism for the, you know, for the entertainment industry that doesn't put as much stock and priority into the real journalism. That's where this happens. We saw so many people go, and that one of the commentaries was, well, we're seeing it's more about the opinions and less about the facts. It's kind of how our country is gone. But we've seen that in media, in sports media, where it's the Stephen A. Smith is the bell cow. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, what are they paying that dude over at FS1? His yeah. Skip Bayless.
Yeah.
They're giving him all kinds of money. Colin Cowherd, who I thought used to have some decent points, he's gone the other way. He's gone to ridiculous country.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but that's what they want. That's what yep. they want. FS1 wants it. ESPN wants it. And what they're neglecting and where they're cutting the fat is on the real journalism. And this place, The Atlantic, is hiring
the Athletic.
The Athletic.
The Atlantic is already a very well respected
right.
publication.
That's right. Getting confused. Yes, The Athletic. But yes, I saw several people say, hey, here's where I'm headed.
I'm joining it. Yeah. Lots of people.
Yeah. We have a good writer, another one, coming
yeah.
up here on the show
yeah,
in just
he's
a few
all
minutes.
Right. Yeah, he's all right.
Kentucky.com is one of my everyday stops on the interwebs. I go there. I mean, I can't. They put a subscription now. They have a paywall where you have to subscribe. And to me, it's justified at $12.99. A month is what I pay. But here's what I would like to see them, the newspaper online model, do, is do a daily rate. Whatever you would pay for the paper at the store, that's the rate you pay. You can do a monthly mm-hmm. subscription just like you would get home delivery, or you pay by the day. So if I want to read, let's say, the Courier Journal that day, then I pay for the day. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I think that would work great for them. Why has no one, you know, thought of that yet?
You thought of it.
I'm brilliant. John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader, next on the Dan and Mary Joe Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Whether it's a natural disaster devastating thousands or a home fire affecting a family, the American Red Cross is there. I'm Jennifer Adrio, CEO of the Kentucky Region Red Cross. Help us as we celebrate 100 years in Kentucky. Contact your local Red Cross today.
Hey, America. We need to have a little talk. We've got more food in our country than we know what to do with. Food at the grocery store and food in the vending machines, fast food, health food, and seafood. We've got so much food that anything people don't buy, we just throw out. Yet 17 million kids in America struggle with hunger. That ain't right. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Yeah, I made that up. It's kind of catchy. Hello, people. This isn't rocket science. We could solve hunger today. To start, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. That's a website. Duh. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Tee it up at Edwin Watts Golf Shops now through August 31st and demo the new Ping G400 Woods, irons, or hybrids. And register for your chance to win. Four lucky grand prize winners will score a VIP fitting for a new driver and putter at the Ping facility. A tour of Ping, including the Ping Gold Putter Vault, plus a round of golf. First prize winners from each store will receive a $50 Edwin Watts gift card. So stop by today and demo the new Ping G400s for your chance to win big at Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
This is Dan from Courtesy Acura. We're selling cars like candy bars. Back to the classic rock. Sweet ride home.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text. And for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
ESPN, Sports Radio 1300, WLHG Lexington, and LM Communications Broadcasting Station. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
Good morning, I'm Doug Brown. The Washington Nationals have a big lead in their division race, but today they have big concerns about outfielder Bryce Harper.
Fastball over the ground up the first base line. Diving stop by the first baseman Jones. He gets up, he races to the bag, and down goes Harper through the bag, and he is hurt. He is clutching his left knee and rolling over on all fours. And here comes Nationals trainer. And Harper in a great deal of pain.
Charlie Slows on the Nationals radio network. Harper has a hyperextended left knee. He's getting an MRI today. The Nats beat the Giants 3-1 after waiting out a three-hour rain delay. Other late finals Saturday night, the Dodgers get home run number 34 from Cody Bellinger and beat the Padres 6-3. Diamondbacks beat the Cubs 6-2, an inside the park home run for David Peralta. The Orioles hammer the A's 12-5. Angels beat the Mariners 6-3. And in Arlington, the Rangers beat the Astros 8-3. Brett Nicholas with a three-run home run. The PGA Championship now in its final round at Quail Hollow. Kevin Kisner is the leader at 7 under par. He's one shot ahead of Chris Stroud and Hideki Matsuyama. The leaders will tee off later today. Usain Bolt will get an MRI today on his left hamstring in the last race of his career in London at the World Championships on Saturday. Bolt had to pull up with a cramp in the 4x100-meter relay.
Derek Jeter and Michael Jordan among a group set to purchase the Miami Marlins for $1.2 billion. The very latest on Monday's Mike and Mike, 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
Welcome to the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by calling 381-1313 or tweet your comments to @DReefer or @MJP18. Now, here are Dan Reefer and Mary Jo Perino.
My world light up when I was down, when
Wasn't even paying attention. We were over here chatting it up with Mary Jo off the air. Brad lets us know.
Like, hey, you guys are on.
Hey, yeah.
You're coming back. Still doing that radio show. It's not just 1 hour. It's two.
Well, we spent 25 minutes talking football with Kyle Tucker. We probably could have talked another 25 minutes. Instead, we'll take up 25 minutes of John Clay's time. Maybe not that much. We'll see how he feels. But John Clay from the Lexington Herald Leader and Kentucky.com joining us here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Good morning, John.
I got big shoes to fill coming in after Kyle.
Hey, you've got the seniority.
Yeah, that's about all I got.
Well, and listen, you might have a little different spin. We talked to Kyle about just how positive this football season could be. You're not totally ready to jump on board that 8-9 win train yet, are you, John?
Well, you know, I wrote a thing on my blog this week. I am very positive about this team. But there's a part of me that thinks, because I've, as you mentioned, seniority, covered and been around Kentucky football for so long, there's a part of you that thinks, you know, everything looks good, everything seems in place for them to have a good season, but, you know, it's Kentucky football.
Yes.
And we, you know, it doesn't always work out the way you think it's going to work out. And so, so there is a part of me that thinks that, are we setting ourselves up for a fall here, that somebody's going to pull the rug out from underneath us. I think overall, they got 17 starters back. They got the quarterback who led them to a bowl game. They got the backup quarterback. It's the guy who actually won the job last year, who everybody says looks to be 100% coming off back surgery. They got a lot of guys back on defense. They got a 1,000-yard rusher running back returning. So, yeah, I mean, it sets up. Everything sets up, anyway, for them to have, to have a good season. But as I said, you never know what will happen, and the history of Kentucky football doesn't always lend itself to them meeting the expectations. So we'll see.
No, and even all of those things you've mentioned, I mean, you've been to a ton of fall camps. We all have, where the positivity is, flowing out of camp. Right.
There are a lot of good reasons for the positivity this year.
But this year, those things that you point out are usually not around.
Right, right. And everybody during fall camp, everybody's the same. They haven't lost a game yet. They're 0-0. So, everybody's hopeful to have a good season. But, and there are questions, about this team. I wrote today about, we didn't get to see the scrimmage yesterday, but listening to Mark Stoops and Eddie Grant and Matt House, they brought up a couple things that are kind of, things that they feel like they got to improve on that they didn't think they did a good job yesterday. One of them was they turned the ball over down on the goal line. And if you go back and look, Kentucky was 107th in turnover margin. It's pretty remarkable that you could be a 107th out of 128 teams in turnover margin when everybody talks about how big turnover margin is. They were 107th last year, and they still won 7 games and went to a bowl game. And they were also not very good against the run last year. I think they were 110th against the run. And Matt House, the new defensive coordinator, was on the staff last year, so he's not new. But he has talked all through camp about they've got to get better against the run, and he was upset yesterday that the offense got 2 long runs on him. Although Mark was a little more, he seemed to be a little more positive about their run defense. He thought overall they played the run pretty well. So, I mean, there are questions. There are areas that have to come through. Boom Williams is not there. Everybody talks about Benny with good reason, but Boom gained over 1,000 yards last year too. Somebody's got to step up and take his spot. They don't necessarily have to rush for 1,000 yards, but they got to give him another dynamic in the backfield. So, like with every team, there are question marks.
Yeah, and I think one of the big question marks is that will we see a different kind of offense, an offense that's more similar to what Eddie Grant and Darren Henshaw ran at Cincinnati. That seems to be what they would like to run. And it just, the strengths of the offense last year forced them to play to those, which were offensive line and running back. I'm not so sure they have another 1,000-yard rusher. A.J. Rose, I mean, there's a lot of potential there from what we hear. Saheem King, they say this is finally his time. And you'll even hear some of the players say, don't sleep on Saheem. But 1,000 yards in the SEC is a big deal, and the offense has to feed that. I think Benny Snell is going to be the guy who gets the majority of the carries. That's pretty obvious that that's how they're going to go. But I would think that they would like to open it up more and take advantage of the potential talent that they seem to have at receiver and a playmaker like a Lynn Bowden?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good question. I mean, I think the thing last year that impressed me about Eddie Grant and Darren Hinshaw and the offensive staff is that after Drew Barker, you know, they kind of built the offense around Drew's arm and what they thought they could do in the passing game and so forth, because at that time, you know, they weren't even playing Benny Snell. They didn't know what they had yet in him. The way that they were able to adapt and adjust and, like you mentioned, go with their strengths after they figured out what their strengths were, you know, three or four games into the season. Now, this year, I think defenses, you know, they've had a whole off season to scheme for Kentucky, and they know, you know, Benny Snell's not going to be a surprise to people next year. I expect them more to stack the box and try to play the running game. And how will Eddie and Darren and the offensive, whole offensive unit, how will they adapt back to that? And I think you're right. I think they, like C.J. Conrad, if you look at all the, you know, if you look at Phil Steele, if you look at Pro Football Focus, you look at all the, you know, the preseason publications, C.J. Conrad is rated really high among tight ends, and you think, well, what, you know, how could this be? Because he hasn't caught that many balls.
Yeah.
But he's just that potential, and he's a guy that they wanted to use last year, and they when they did call that C.J.'s number, for whatever reason, he and Steven Johnson just could never quite hook up on passes. But they definitely would like to use C.J. more. They really like the other two tight ends they have in Greg Hart and Riggs, the redshirt freshman kid. So they, you know, they feel like they've got strength there and they want to use that more. You're right about the receivers. They got receivers. Dorian Baker, you know, was hurt through most of last year. This is his senior season, his last chance, and I think, you know, he's primed to have a good season. So, no, I think you're right. I think we'll see more of maybe more where they spread it around and more balanced, which is what Eddie ran at Cincinnati. And I think you're right, what he wants to run, I think we could see more of that this year. And everybody, I thought Steven looked better in the open practice we had to see last week on the intermediate passes. And they said yesterday in the scrimmage that he was hitting those passes better. I know that's definitely something he's worked on in the offseason. And I think that would definitely be something that would help him and lend him to what you say about using other weapons in the offense.
Speaking of weapons in the offense, we were kind of talking earlier about expectations for Lynn Bowden. And coming out of the scrimmage yesterday, he's one of the guys that all of the staff mentions as being a playmaker. He got here late. We all know the background. He doesn't know the whole offense yet. But my goodness, doesn't it appear right now that he might just be everything they said he was going to be this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, he's a guy that they're going to, you know, as Mark mentioned yesterday, you know, they got to figure out ways, even though he doesn't know the offense yet because he got in late, you know, he may not be quite in the same condition as some of the other guys, but they've got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. And I thought it was interesting, like you say, they were not real happy with the scrimmage yesterday. Stoops called it okay. Eddie complained about the turnover on offense and the mistakes they made. Matt House wasn't thrilled with the way he didn't think they were consistent enough on defense, but they all agreed that Lynn Bowden had a good scrimmage yesterday, and he's only been in camp for a week. So, and he's a guy that they plan to use a lot of different ways. They've already talked about he's probably going to return kicks and punts, but you can put him in a slot receiver. They've talked about running him in the Wildcat. You know, they'll find ways, even if he doesn't know all the ins and outs of the offense, they're going to find ways to get the ball in his hands. And, you know, I thought Stoops was talking yesterday. Of course, Stoops loves his Youngstown guys, and he's a Youngstown guy. But Stoops was talking yesterday about that, you know, he doesn't want anything, Bowden doesn't want anything handed to him. He wants to earn it, that they already like his work ethic. So, yeah, everything we're hearing so far, I know he's only been camp for a week. Yeah, you're right, Mary Jo. He might be one of those guys who actually lives up to the hype and lives up to the expectations.
Talking to the Lexington Herald Leader's John Clay here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. The thing about Stoops is he'll even stop himself sometimes and say, I don't want to say too much about this kid because I don't want him to hear it, you know. But he had no hesitation in praising Lynn Bowden. And then Eddie Grant has been hesitant when he's been asked, you know, this week about him. Right. And then yesterday he had no problem saying, no, he's one of the guys that definitely showed up today. And right. Then Drew Barker elaborated a little more and said, hey, he made some big third down catches where he caught it short of the marker and then had the awareness to get vertical and get the yardage needed to get it. Those are type of things that make you think he's going to deliver. And here, the other thing is, there is something about a kid like him that has this makeup. So we're hearing anyway, that is going to catch punts without a problem. Like the part about catching it that some of the guys couldn't do, and the reason they're playing Charles Walker back there is because they know he can catch it. I don't think that's even that doesn't bother him. I don't think there's something about those guys like that's not an issue. So I really think he could be, that could be a huge changer for Kentucky if they get some momentum in special teams. With the addition of this punter, Matt Panton, if he's better and they can get a little bit better job of flipping the field and flipping the field the other way and getting some actual punt return or, kick return, starting yardage. It's underestimated a little bit. We don't talk about it a lot, but...
But I think Stoops was very unhappy with with field position last year.
And when you're a team like Kentucky, when the margin is so close, that could be the difference, is just being a little bit better on special teams.
No, yeah, they talk about hidden yards, that you get yards that don't necessarily show up in the score, in the scorebook or in the final stats. And one of those is, like you mentioned, on punt returns and kickoff returns, giving yourself good field position. I'll go back to a couple things. Guy Morris's second year when they went 7-5 and did better than much people thought. I mean, one of the big stars on that team was Glenn Pakulak, punter, because he did such a great job of getting him good field position. And I thought he was kind of, even back to Claiborne's year, when Jerry Claiborne, I'm going way back now, back to the 80s, they had a guy, Paul Calhoun, who was a punter, who did a great job. Their special teams were really good. And the other thing I go back to with Bowden, talking about Bowden and talking about, what he can do in his death. I can remember when Randall Cobb first got to Kentucky, was on campus and obviously made a good impression right away with the staff. And I remember Joker Phillips saying at the time, he's just a football player. He's a football player. And, I haven't seen Bowden except a little bit in that open practice where it was his first day, so he really didn't do a whole lot. But the way they talk about Bowden kind of reminds me of what Joker said about Randall Cobb. He sounds like a football player, a guy who will just go, he just knows how to play football. Yeah. And, you need as many of those guys as you can get. But no, you're right. I think the special teams will be improved. I think Dean Hood was an excellent hire. I think Dean will help them. Hopefully the new punter coming in will at least, push Grant McInnes. And Dean talked the other day where, he wouldn't be against using both of them in certain situations, or if one's out kicking the other, they might go with that guy. So, yeah, I do look for the special teams to be better, and I think you're right. I think they need for the special teams to be better.
And well, Dean's had a pretty good track record with punters from Australia. Jordan Berry is now the Pittsburgh Steelers starting punter that he had at EKU. Right.
So we've talked a lot about offense today, John. What defensively, where do you think this team is right now?
Well, I think obviously their big question, we talked all along and they talked about yesterday, is defensive line. They feel like they're in pretty good shape everywhere else, with Denzel Ware and Josh Allen at those outside linebacker defensive end spots. In fact, they're moving one of the guys, Bannerman, who they thought would figure into the depth there. They're moving him over the offense, giving him a try tight end. And part of that, Mark said yesterday, because they feel like they're in good shape depth-wise at that outside linebacker defensive end position. I mean, Jordan Jones is an all-SEC guy as an inside linebacker. They've got a lot of depth back in the secondary, to the point where they're moving guys around back there, trying them in different spots. The defensive line is the question. They're really high on Quentin Bohanna, a true freshman who's come in. They can't stop talking about him. It looks like he's going to play right away and help out. Madhouse mentioned yesterday that Adrian Milton has been solid. They're expecting improvement from him. They just don't have a whole lot of depth there, or experience depth. I mean, Matt Elam is a guy, obviously he was a point of focus over the summer for what Greg McElroy said. But I noticed that when they at the open practice last week, Matt was running with the first team. And I think Matt's had flashes where he's made some good plays. He just hasn't been able to be very consistent or stay on the field for very long. I think he looks better than he's looked. It's kind of like, we were talking with Dorian Baker. This is his last chance for Matt to come through and have a good year or play up to his capabilities. If he could do that, that would certainly help. But that's the one area, and a lot of times they say you're only as good as your defensive line, but that's the one area that they worry about and what they, need to develop, and that's the defensive line.
Well, I tell you, I heard Derek Ansley say this while he was here early on, is that that Mark Stoops likes to build the defense from the outside in, you know, meaning starting at the back. And it seems like now we're year five, that's what has happened. I mean, you look at Darius West, Devontae Robinson, Mike Edwards, Chris Westry, Derek Beatty, Jordan Griffin, Kendall Randolph. I mean, those are seven guys right there that are all capable of holding their own out there in the secondary. And now you look at the depth that outside linebacker is so great that they've taken a 6'5 pass rusher and thrown him over at tight end just because they got to find a place for him to play. Inside, Cash Daniel, Courtney Love, Jordan Jones, they seem, and the last thing to go here appears to be the defensive line, but this might be this has the potential to be their best defensive line in terms of bodies with a Cordell Looney and a TJ Carter and Naquez Pringle and Matt Elam and Adrian Middleton and Quentin Bohannon now. And they seem like they have more bodies there. And that seems to be the key. That seems to be the difference. That'll be the difference in stopping the run, as Matt House always says is the priority.
Yeah, I asked Vince Merrill on Media Day, how close are you to having the roster that you want? And he said that we're pretty close, except we need to catch up on the defensive line. We're still trying to play catch up on the defensive line. And if you look back, you know, they benefited a couple of times from JUCO guys that they brought in on the defensive lines, of Darius Smith early on, CJ Corey Johnson after that. A lot of those guys that you talked about are young guys that they, you know, they've gotten some playing time. But they don't have a whole lot of experience. It's not that they don't think they can play. They just don't have a whole lot of experience. I tell you, I was talking to Landon Young the other day, and he was going on and on to me about TJ Carter. He thinks TJ Carter has really gotten better, and that's a guy he goes up against in practice every day.
Yeah.
And he feels like that he's going to make a difference this year. So, yeah, I mean, you're right. It's not like they don't feel like they have anybody in those spots. They just, you know, they don't have a whole lot of experience, or they haven't in the past been counted on to play prominent roles where this year, you know, they will play. But, yeah, that's interesting about what you said about building it from the back forward. And I think, you know, obviously with Mark's background being a secondary coach before he was a defensive coordinator, and he's obviously that's his baby, is working with the secondary as well. And you're right, they're strong on the back end. They feel like they have good linebackers and outside linebackers, and that interior defensive line is kind of like the final piece of the puzzle.
Well, back to the original reason we called you on here was because of the outlook. Are we too positive about the outlook? And I don't think there's any doubt that this is Mark Stoops' best team. As far as personnel wise, talent, potential, all that, and they've got a little momentum. And one of the things,
and the schedule does set up for them pretty well too.
Right, they don't have to play LSU or Alabama or Auburn. They get to play the Mississippi Brothers, but. He mentions this, and I think this is he knows, he's aware of Kentucky football's history and past, and he talks about the culture, and he says it takes everyone, because we're sitting here and we know Kentucky football.
We've been there.
We're debating whether they will win eight games or not, because we know that somewhere they're going to do something that you just go, oh, that's Kentucky football. And I think Mark Stoops is kind of aware of that, and that's what he really wants to change, is that whole attitude, that mentality, that we're always going to find a way to mess it up. And well, when it's been 33 years since you've won eight games, that's kind of, it's a hard thing to overcome.
It is.
Right. No, yeah, that's true. I mean, yeah, mentality definitely figures into it, and changing the culture of the program definitely figures into it. But I mean, I think, you know, when you look at the pods, that what they've done as far as, so, I mean, look at them, they've got a training facility that you know, I wouldn't say it's the best in the SEC, but it's certainly comparable to anything else in the SEC, much better than what they had. Redid the stadium. Their recruiting has been better. You know, and so many of these guys are from Ohio. I think I figured it out the other day, 34 or 35 of the kids on the roster going into the fall camp, when you're talking about a little over 100 kids are from Ohio. Those guys come from winning programs. They're used to playing winning football, where football is very important. And I think, you know, I'm not putting a knock on the Kentucky kids at all, but I think that kind of figures into it as well, as these guys come from programs where they're, you know, where they're used to winning. Well, you know, what do you mean they haven't won around here? I came from a program where we won, where football is important. And I think little by little and bit by bit, he's kind of built the team that way. And but no, you're right. You still have to overcome the and the only way you can do that, of course, this Stoops has said it. Cal Perry says it all the time. It's, you know, proven performance. That's where it comes from. You have to prove it on the field or on the court to get that confidence. They seem like a more confident team to me, to the point where you have to make sure that they're not too confident. They think just because we took a big step forward last year, that means we're going to take a step forward this year. That's one of the things I got out of the scrimmage yesterday. I think maybe a couple of years ago, if they'd had a scrimmage like they had yesterday, Stoops would be saying, yeah, we had a good scrimmage. But I think he expects more out of this team. So mm-hmm. I think that's why he said it was just an okay scrimmage, because he talked about that they did do some positive things, but they didn't do enough positive things and they did enough negative things to where he wasn't real thrilled with the throw, because I think, you know, he's raised his expectations as well.
When you, John, see what the ticket sales have been to this point, what does that tell you about? Is that confirmation of we've seen and heard this thing before?
to some extent. I think for the past, well, really since Stoops has been here, to some degree, it's been more of a, I think there's a couple things. One is that there's more of a, used to be a core Kentucky football fan that would show up, rain or shine, win or lose, and meant much more losing than winning over the years, but they would still come to the, they like going to the games, they love football, and support the team. There's more of a, you got to prove it to me now. I'm not going to fall for this until I've heard all this before. You got to show it to me on the field. And I think there's more of an, in the past it was either you go to the game or there might be a couple of games on TV that you could stay home and watch. Now, and we've talked about this many times before, you know, you can stay at home and why there's 20 games on and you can watch your 60-inch HD TV with your, you know, with your refrigerator in the next room that you can go instead of having to pay a high price for tickets and concessions. And if one game's a bad game, you can switch to two or three other games that are really good games. So there's more of an incentive to stay home than to come to the game. So I think that figures into it as well. But, I think overall the Kentucky fans, we're going to have to see it first. We've heard this before. You know, let's see if it really comes to fruition before I'm going to, buy tickets. I expect if they get off to a good start, obviously the South Carolina game early on, down in Columbia is a big game. Florida at home is a big game. If they get off to a good start, I think ticket numbers will pick up. People might even, buy into season tickets for the rest of the year. But the numbers are not what they want them to be or what they were hoping that they would be coming off of bowl season so far. I mean, they had that Yahtzee thing where they were trying to sell tickets. To me, that's an indication that they're not where they were they hoped they would be at this point.
John Clay, great as always. Really appreciate it. Enjoy reading your articles on Kentucky.com and in the Lexington Herald Leader. Thanks again for joining us this morning.
Thank you, John.
Hey, thanks, guys, for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. John Clay there from the Lexington Herald Leader. And truly, like I said, Kentucky.com, I go there every day.
Yeah.
Every single day. All right. We got to get to a break. 381-1313 if you want to get in here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
Here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Keep it locked to the Dan Levitard Show on ESPN Radio.
Jay Cutler had leverage over the Miami Dolphins. Jay Cutler, I remind you, won one of our tournaments because he looks like this.
Jay Cutler looks like the guy trying to break into a house on an alarm company commercial.
That is now the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins.
Dan Levitard, weekdays 10 to 1 on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Ride rough, ride tough, MLS Power Sports, got the ride you're looking for.
The Arctic Cat factory authorized clearance event is going on now at MLS Power Sports, and it's bigger than ever with rebates up to $3,500 and financing as low as 3.9% on brand new Arctic Cat ATVs and side-by-sides. You can stop thinking and start riding. Don't miss out on your next ride and hurry into MLS Power Sports, 1030 Paris Pike in Georgetown. Offer valid for participating dealers while supplies last and subject to change. Inventory may vary by dealer. Not all applicants will qualify. See dealer for details and program dates. Always wear a helmet and don't drink and ride.
Ride victoriously. Ride.
most of all, ride victoriously.
As a mom, I'm always looking for affordable family fun. I recommend the Lexington Legends. They play today at 2:05. Get your tickets now by phone at 859-422-RUNS or online at lexingtonlegends.com.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some tips for the summer heat. Consider using an interior fan along with your window air conditioner to spread the cooled air through your home without greatly increasing your power use. Avoid placing appliances that give off heat, such as lamps or TVs, near thermostats. If you need a reputable company for any air conditioning needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling. The
Heat Busters!
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Oh, I'm clearing my throat a lot this morning. I'm sorry if that's coming over the radio.
Lots of good football talk today, though. We've had Kyle Tucker and John Clay both with, you know, slightly different takes. But I do think the majority of the feeling coming out of this team is positive.
Oh, without a doubt. I like I said before, this is the best roster that Mark Stoops has had, talent-wise. If you go down through there and you look at every player, and then you look at every player's school choices, like who offered them? Who did they have a scholarship offer from outside of Kentucky? And, I mean, a majority of them are other schools comparable to UK or bigger than UK. Mm-hmm. Now, I know
that, at least Power 5 conference schools.
And there's always the debate about 4 stars, 3 stars, whatever. But when you're beating schools like Ole Miss or Georgia or Tennessee or Ohio State...
I mean, Michigan,
when you're beating those schools, even Alabama, when you're beating those schools, that's better. Whether those players pan out or not, it's just better to have the higher percentage of players that you have when you beat out those kind of schools, the better you're going to be. That's just, there's no real, you know.
There's not a hidden thing there. It's right. Just, it makes it's sense. Just,
yeah.
That if you're getting guys over Central Michigan.
Right, and Ball State.
They can end up being great players, of course. But your chances, you know, I'll take my chances with the guys that Alabama liked.
Right, exactly. And so they have more depth, I think, than they've ever had before. And that's a new thing to manage, too, because the selling point at UK a lot of times is, hey, you can come in here and play right away. But if you want to be a big boy in the SEC, those guys need to be convinced that it's okay to redshirt as well. So it's a tough transition there. You get from that one step of you start getting them, and then they start getting to play. But then there's that next step of you still have to get them even though they're not going to play. So would you rather go and not play at Alabama for the first year or go to UK and not play for the first year? That's where they got to get to the next step. But this roster right here, 8 wins, I think, has to be – yeah, well, what did Kyle Tucker say? Anything less than 7 would be a disappointment. No doubt about it. I mean, I think here's your chance. I think less than 8 would be, I mean, get to
no,
7.
I think 7 wins still.
But 7 is like, okay, so you did what you did last year, you know?
I don't know. I still think 7 wins.
7 wins is good.
7 wins to me.
But did you take a step forward?
Yes. If they win 7 games, it is a step forward because there is something to be said for consistency.
Yeah.
And yeah. I would rather see consistent growth than have a flash in the pan 9-win season and go, and I'm not saying that would happen and then they'd go back downhill.
Right.
Usually that builds momentum in itself, but I do think there is something to be said for consistency, especially when, like as we talked about with John Clay, like there's still this pervasive feeling of it's Kentucky football, so something bad's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you can count on 7 wins, you've won a game or two in there that could have gone the other way.
If you want to take that next step, though, that I was talking about, then they feel like they are. Mark Stoops says, I think we're ready to take the next step. You have to beat Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. Not all of them. You got to get in there. If you lose to South Carolina, okay. But you can't lose to Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, and South Carolina.
No.
Now all you are is better than Missouri and Vandy if you win those games in the East. So you got to do that if you want to be able to redshirt the guys who have offers from Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And this is one of those years, too, where, like as we've mentioned, you know, that if you're going to play two teams in the West, it's Ole Miss and Mississippi State who you want. And they got them, so.
Yeah. Ole Miss, the train wreck. Well, let's get to the phones. Dennis is on the line in Berea. Good morning, Dennis. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing perfectly fine this sucky blue Sunday morning. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
It was cool this morning, wasn't it? Almost felt like fall.
It was. That means football's coming.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm looking at seven victories with the Florida victory will definitely perk recruits because now we've done shook that monkey off. Now, if you could turn around and beat two out of the three of the three-headed monsters, that's even better.
Yeah. Well, you got two of them at home, you know?
We got two of them at home. And you know, we got ripped off last time when we played Florida at home.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a really barn burner right there.
No, wait, that was down there.
No.
You're talking about the play clock expiring?
Right.
That was down there because the next year it was a 14-9 game. They had just beaten South Carolina on the road, and they were going – what's the song? Flocka, Waka Flocka. Yeah. What was that song?
It's a party.
It's a party. Remember? Mm-hmm. And so they were so close to beating Florida
here.
But the play clock was down there.
Right. I mean, but, you know, hopefully they can look at that. It's like, not this time. No.
Yeah.
No, not this time. But I also want to give a big props out to Sports Illustrated for mentioning the Village Idiot.
For doing what now?
Yes.
They mentioned the Village Idiot?
Yeah, they said top places to eat in SEC towns.
Oh.
And Village Idiot's pulled pork mac and cheese.
Oh, my gosh. Have you had that, Dennis?
Oh, I know. It's like definitely don't want to go to there before you go to a doctor's appointment.
It is so good.
It's out of this world. It is out of this world.
But I've not had a bad meal at Village Idiot.
No.
All their stuff's been good.
Yeah.
No, it's awesome. But I do want to give a big props out to Mr. Mitchell Trubisky.
Yes! Yes! Super Bowl, baby!
Dan's been dying to talk about it all day.
Oh, my God, Dan. It's like, why did you sign Mike Glennon? That's what I want to know.
Mike Glennon, go ahead and trade him now for more depth on the offensive line. Let's just go. Trubisky. He was making all the throws. Gosh, he was looking great. Oh, he was looking great.
He ran that quarterback rollout like he's done it for 10 years in the pros.
Yeah. Thursday night, it was Deshaun Watson for the Texans. Looking great. Yep. And that's, everybody was talking about how great Deshaun Watson
looked. And I do think he's
going to
be pretty good.
And I'm thinking, the Bears could have had Watson. And then Friday night, Trubisky goes out there and does his thing. I mean, they brought him in one of the toughest situations, two-minute drill. That's where they throw him in, and he leads them down there, and then he comes back in the third quarter. I mean, it was great. It was great. I was so pumped.
It just goes to show you 4-12 is going to be a big year for the Bears. So,
Rookie of the Year still will probably be Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, there's the Vikings over there talking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Leonard Fournette said it's pretty easy playing in the NFL.
It's just a lot easier
than I thought. Yeah. LSU is way harder. I played in the SEC, so this is nothing.
But, you know, I just really hope, that the players can buy into the UK, buy into Mark Stoops. And big props out to Brad Calipari. How about that? He had a great tour.
Over in Croatia, averaged 14 points a game, I believe it was.
It'll be the only points he sees this year.
He'll hit a three somewhere. Yeah.
Non-conference slate. They're up by 30 on somebody. He'll get some game action.
Yeah, or John Splits in the doghouse.
That's exactly right. That's how you know he's getting in.
Yeah.
You guys have a really good, awesome Sunday.
Hey, right, thank you too, Dennis.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Should we get to a break, Brad? Should we do that? All right, we'll take a break. We're not very good at taking breaks.
No.
We
like to talk.
But let me tell you, if you've got some money that you want to spend on this show for an advertisement, I promise you we'll get to the break.
We'll shut up. Yeah.
381-1313 if you want to get in here on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Time Warner Cable Business Class is now Spectrum Business. And at Spectrum Business, the best keeps getting better. What does that mean for you? It means your business gets faster internet, more advanced voice, and over 99.9% network reliability. It also means no added taxes or fees, and no contracts, ever. Because at Spectrum Business, we believe in earning your business every day. Just call 866-928-4330 to get faster internet speeds, up to 60 megabits per second. Now for only $44.99 a month. And that's not all. You can also add advanced business voice with unlimited long distance and over 30 calling features for just $29.99 a month. It's all part of our commitment to redefining what a cable company can be. Call 866-928-4330 today and switch to Spectrum Business to get faster internet and advanced voice for our best price ever. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
Oh no! I broke my iPhone.
Experimat can fix it.
But how much will that cost? I'll probably have to rob a bank, hit the lottery, or hope a long-lost relative leaves me a huge sum of money.
Not at Experimat.
Experimat? What's that?
Experimat is your place for pre-owned Apple products and repair.
Repair?
Yep. iPhones, iPads, iMacs, MacBook, and Macs. You break it, Experimat repairs it. Experimat, 2380 Norman Lane, Suite 130, right next to Salsarita, or call 859-368-9265. Experimat. Computers, tablets, phones, buy, sell, trade, or repair.
Hey everybody, this is Chastity at ADA Heating and Air. We asked people what they wanted in their HVAC equipment. They told us a brand that has stood the test of time and has a proven reliability record. We have delivered. We install American Standard HVAC equipment. American Standard has been a leader in the HVAC industry for over 100 years. We can bring American Standard into your home. Call us today at 859-519-6382 for a free estimate to replace your old or broken HVAC system.
ADA is on the way.
Hi, this is John Blevins from Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling with some summer plumbing tips. Be careful what you put down your disposal after your cookout. Run cold water at full pressure for 15 seconds before and after you put anything down the disposal to flush it through, and never put instant stuffing, potato mixes, or any just-add-water foods down the drain. For all your plumbing needs, call us at 859-252-3519. Barkley Blevins Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, the
Plumbing Busters!
ESPN Sports Radio.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show. Local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show, or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
I'm not even kidding. I had a dream about this radio show. This is like 2 weeks ago. I had a dream about this radio show, and what I said on the radio show was, do you think anybody has ever said Smash Mouth is my favorite band? And then you played it. It's like, that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, that's never happened, that Smash Mouth.
Do you ever watch Impractical Jokers? Which is my favorite television show.
No, I've seen it maybe, but no.
Uh-uh. I mean, I've seen every episode multiple times.
I mean, it's like a group of guys, and they put their buddies up to like doing real stupid stuff. Is that right? And they're in their ear about it.
Yes.
And they like ask them to do this now.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And it's just, it's so funny. It is so funny. Anyways, they had some guy go up to someone in the grocery store the other day and goes, hey, when did you leave Smash Mouth? Because he looked kind of like the... So, I don't know. Anyways.
I tell you, the shows that I'll catch just like that, like you would watch for a half hour or
Well, I watch it for several hours a day. Okay. Yeah. Well, it's
like
so
Seinfeld
funny.
Is on TBS a couple nights a week for like an hour, hour and a half or something. Those are always so good. Or I'll hit up Family Feud.
Yeah.
I mean, Steve Harvey's always good. You got to watch it around the kids, though. I mean, they're eight.
They have Steve been Harvey making it is, very yeah, dirty.
Risque. Or HGTV. I mean, I've got it to the point where my eight-year-olds have opinions on home decor.
Daddy, let's watch Beachfront Bargain.
I don't think they're going to pick that
house. Shiplap.
Oh, I'm sick of those two.
Oh, no, I don't. I cannot watch them.
No.
Cannot watch them. I still like the Property Brothers.
Yes.
I still like them.
But what are their names again? Joe and the Flip This House people. What are their names? I can't even remember their names now. Joanne.
Chip and Joanne Gaines.
Yeah. Chip and Joanna Gaines. Yeah.
Yeah,
they get on my nerves. Can't watch them.
Also, they always make the exact same house. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Nope. No, anyway. We were talking to John Clay a minute ago and mentioning the season ticket sales are not where Kentucky would like them to be for football. And one of the things that always comes up is about the ability to watch it at home. I mean, Kentucky does, I think, a good job of expanding the game experience. Like, they've got the pregame concerts
now, and they're letting fans decide who.
And John Michael Montgomery's son, Walker Montgomery, got voted to do the first weekend. So, opening weekend against EKU, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, noon game against EKU. He's going to do a concert, the pregame concert. And then, you know, others throughout. But you got a pregame concert. Then you have so much with the concessions that they've amped up a little bit. You know, tailgating always. But it has become, it's one of those things, if you're a season ticket holder, it's a huge commitment to your Saturdays.
It is all day.
Yes, it's an all day thing. Because you go a few hours before. You can't just drive up, go to the game, and leave. That's very difficult to do. And that, in and of itself, is 5 hours at least.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a full day type commitment. And if you have a family, that means those things that you need to do as a family to keep up your household, grocery, errands, all those things that you need to do aren't happening on Saturday. A lot of people go to church on Sunday.
And then it's the NFL and you've parked your butt in front of that TV from 1 o'clock on Sunday. So that's just me.
No.
I also now have my groceries delivered to my house. And I can't get over it, right? So I used to go grocery shopping maybe once a week.
Uh-huh.
But I just can't stop. And that's because it's on an app. And I'll be like, hey, does anybody need anything from the store? And yesterday we were outside like working in the yard and John was like, quit looking at your phone. I'm like, well, I'm grocery shopping, and so they're going to be coming here. I literally had someone come to my house and deliver 2 plastic bags of groceries. I am so lazy. I was like, is that it? She's like, yep, that's it. I'm like, oh, okay. I didn't even know what I got. I just think it's amazing that I can do that. Just put in an app and say, come here between 2 and 3,
yeah,
and they will do it.
I'm not a big fan of shopping either. I mean, I don't like going grocery shopping. I mean, plus, if I get in there, then I always get distracted by stuff in there, too.
I know, but I feel like I'm saving money by doing it this way because you're not browsing the aisles. Like, I'm only putting on there things that I need.
When it comes to produce, though, fruits and vegetables, I have found that it's better for you to go and do it yourself.
Yeah.
They're going to give you the stuff nobody picks at the store. Or if you want some hamburger, some ground beef,
yeah,
you're getting the stuff that's got that sticker, cooked today. You know, I mean, it's going to have a date on it that expires tomorrow.
Well, I made a mistake the first time I put in for ground beef. I guess I thought I was getting a pound. Like, I thought I put in for a pound. And I guess what I put in for was 0.1 pound. So I get this thing in my grocery bag.
Like a meatball?
Honestly, wrapped up in that like deli white paper or whatever. And I was like, what's this? And I open it, I'm like, oh my God.
What am I going to do with this? Feed the cat?
I know. But yes, tailgating is a massive time commitment. It's a massive financial commitment, to be quite honest.
Yes, it is, especially if it's a family. Yeah. You know, a family of four.
That's a huge financial commitment.
For me, it would be over $1,000 to do it. And then the tailgating and all that. But I'm not typical, though. I have some job to do 7 days a week and work too much and all that stuff. But I would love to. For 1 year, I had season tickets because I was out of the media, working like a 8-to-5 Monday through Friday type deal. And so I had my weekends free. So that makes it different. If you have your entire weekend free, makes it a little different. And I loved it because there is nothing. There's no doubt about it. You go to that Florida game and Kentucky wins it. Mm-hmm. Would you rather be sitting in your house watching it on TV or at Kroger Field?
Being at that LSU game is always going to be one of the sports highlights of my life.
Yeah.
Just to been there.
Absolutely. So there's nothing like being there. I like to go to at least one game in person per year.
The only game I went to last year was Mississippi State, and it was awesome.
Right.
Because that was such a back and forth game at the end, and then we won, and it was awesome. Right.
Yes. So you cannot replicate that. Tailgating is also awesome.
It is.
I love those things.
I love when other people do it and then I show up at it because it's a lot of work.
Yeah, it is.
It's work.
But I'm to a point where just for me in my life, it fits a lot better to watch it at home. My tailgating comes straight from my refrigerator or from Wing Zone or, you know.
Yeah.
And after the game's over, I don't have to hop in traffic.
Yeah.
If I need to do stuff right up to kickoff, I can go ahead and hit DVR, and if I'm 5 minutes late, I can start there.
Yep.
Because sometimes I do that. If it's like a 4:30 game is the opener, season opener, we might be out doing stuff, and we don't make it home until 5. I don't like to do that, but it's available to you.
Yep.
Let's say they're on at 7:30. The 8 o'clock game is Alabama LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Kentucky's playing Eastern Michigan. Well, I would like to watch a little bit of that other game. And when Kentucky's game's over, I know I've got at least 45 minutes left of the big game that I can watch right away.
Yeah.
So there is.
And we all have TVs that have made. Yeah, it's just.
Enormous TVs. I even remember last year I watched the Cubs World Series game and the Kentucky football game. They're like, you know, side by side.
Yeah.
So, and then sports bars. There's another way to do it right there. You go to sports bars and you've got all those TVs. The tailgating is done for you.
Yep.
You have the camaraderie of fellow fans of the same team. Like, if you want to go watch a UK basketball game, you better get to B-Dubs an hour before it starts. If it's a big game.
Yes. Yeah, you have to.
So there are so many other options available. It makes it tough. I don't know how much the season ticket sales reflect the feeling of the fan base as much as they used to. Like, because they haven't sold their goal of 40,000 season tickets, does that mean the optimism isn't as high? I don't know.
But do you think Michigan is struggling to sell 105,000?
You got a point there. Yeah. No, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not having trouble at all. All right, one more break, Brad. Should we? Yes? All right. Take another break. Be back with more on the Dan and Mary Jo Show.
On ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show continues after this on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility.
Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
Coming up next on the Razzmatazz Show in Scatmandu is a little ditty by a hip chick trio from Schlotzkis, baby. Skit that door that it out to do bam, yeah. They hit our taste buds like a transfixing trombone a while back, but they're flapping their feathers for another tour. The Chicken Cordon Bleu, Fiesta Chicken, and Chicken Bacon Smoked Cheesy. Yeah, they're clickety clacking around the menu at Skit that door that it out to do bam, Schlotzkis. Come on in today and give them a little tasty taste.
The Shelby's Way Hot Rod Hullabaloo is coming up Saturday, September 2nd. It's absolutely free to participate, so we expect more than 600 classic hot rods and show vehicles at the event. We've blocked off Contract Street between Loudoun and Floyd for music, food trucks, souvenirs, and vendors. We're even raffling off a teardrop camping trailer. It's all happening from 10 to 4 Saturday, September 2nd for the nonprofit Shelby's Way, bringing awareness to suicide prevention. For more info and registration, go to shelbysway.com.
The Dan and Mary Jo Show, local and live. Call 381-1313 to be a part of the show or tweet them at DReefer or at MJP18. Now back to Dan and Mary Jo on ESPN Sports Radio 1300.
Listen, I don't think we want to, we hate diving too deep into things that aren't sports related sometimes, but it's impossible to not at least make mention of the horrific events that happened in Charlottesville, Virginia yesterday, which is the home of UVA.
Yeah.
And just how awful, awful, awful it was. And because of that, Lexington's mayor, Jim Gray, tweeted out this: "Today's events in Virginia remind us that we must bring our country together by condemning violence, white supremacists, and Nazi hate groups. Lexington's Confederate statues of Breckinridge and Hunt Morgan, located at our historic courthouse, which will soon be our new visitor's center. The tragic events in Charlottesville have accelerated the announcement I intended to make last week. I am taking action to relocate those statues. We have thoroughly examined this issue and heard from many of our citizens."
It sounds like they're going to move it to Veterans Park.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it satisfies, I understand where people come from when they say you can't erase history. But then there's certain parts of history that you also don't celebrate. Right, well, Breckinridge was a vice president of the United States. And if you go back to some of our presidents, Thomas Jefferson as an example of someone who was on the wrong side of history. But it was a different time. Do you celebrate that? Well, I think that's the point now is no, you don't celebrate those things. And nothing, I think it hit home for me was if there was any on the fence about removing statues and erasing history, that kind of thing, is the New Orleans mayor's speech about when they decided to do it. And the points that he brought up just made me think, well, I hadn't thought about it that way before. It's because I don't live in someone else's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see it through the eyes of someone else sometimes if that's not your life. So it's hard to put yourself in someone else's shoes sometimes. So when you see it from that perspective, I think it helps you understand a little bit better about what you're celebrating. Do we need to celebrate that? So with Breckinridge being a vice president, I think a statue belongs somewhere. It doesn't belong right downtown to show everyone,
mm-hmm.
but it belongs in Veterans Park, where that is about history
mm-hmm.
and veterans. And John Hunt Morgan was a veteran of war. It was a different time for sure. But what's happening right now?
It's unimaginable to me.
I don't have words for it other than disgusting.
There is something that has made it okay now for this to be so public. Like, I don't think there was ever a time where there was racism, then there was not racism, and now there's racism again.
Right.
There, it's always been there. There's always been that. But there is now has been made a climate where it's like it's okay to be on that side sometimes. I don't know. The fact that it's been called sides, like there shouldn't be sides. There's not sides.
There is no side of, it's never okay to be on the side of Hitler. Everyone who has a brain that is somewhat functional should be able to agree that that's the case. That never being on the side of Hitler.
Yeah.
People get upset when you use the comparison to Hitler. Like, you get in trouble if you're a politician or a public figure and you say something and you compare someone to Hitler. That's like the level of the worst that you could ever be compared to. And you should be more thoughtful before you compare someone to that. And now we've got people in the middle of downtown Charlottesville, Virginia.
With tiki torches.
And Nazi flags. Our country united and fought a war against those ideals as an entire country. I know we don't want to get too political, but hey.
There are things that
Mayor Jim Gray.
Yes, I applaud him. I applaud him. We applaud him. So
for his reaction to that, I think it says something.
Yep.
So sorry I made Brad load in Sound of Drew Barker and we didn't even get to it. How about this, Brad? I know we don't even have time for it, but let's just hear Drew Barker talk about Lynn Bowden on the way out just to get you so excited.
Because we're only a few weeks away now.
3 weeks.
For sure. I mean, we're just trying to, you know, get the ball in his hands, make it as simple as possible for him because, you know, once he gets the ball in his hands, he can really just be comfortable and do his own thing. So I know for sure he made a couple of third down plays where he might have caught it a couple yards short of the chains and made a guy miss or two and get vertical and get the first down, which is pretty impressive for a young guy to already know to, you know, get the tough yards and know where the sticks are. So that was good to see out of him.
Any